Hello and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ife and I'm recording from St. Andrews. Today we have a different sort of program in place. And I want to start by, first of all, apologizing for not releasing the episode earlier in the month. It has been a very, very busy couple of weeks and this is me trying to catch up, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy it because this is my way of trying to introduce you to my Pew research. And I have my colleague with me today to talk about it. You're welcome, Nolene.
Thanks, Ife, and hello everyone, and welcome to African Jeopardy once again. My name is Nolene, and I'm an associate lecturer in the School of Geography and Sustainable Development at the University of St. Andrews, and I work with Ife. And today we have Ife as our guest, and we are going to interview her as one of the 2023 Pew Fellows. And congratulations to you, Ife. And just to start with, Ife, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much, Nolene. I know it's been a very busy couple of weeks for you as well. So it's actually a pleasure to finally have you here. So my name is Ife Sinachi Okafor-Yawood, or Ife. I am a lecturer in sustainable development, and my current area of specialization is on oceans governance and maritime security, primarily in Western Central Africa. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Thank you.
Congratulations once
Yeah,
again. That sounds quite exciting. And can you tell us more about what the Pew Research Fellowship entails?
thank you so much for the question. If I'm honest, before I actually got to learn more about the fellowship, I've always seen it from the other side, reading about all these amazing scholars that's always been awarded this fellowship to do this amazing research. And these are people that are really doing great work. And I'm always in awe of them. And I've never, and this is honest truth, I've never seen it and felt, oh, I wish I were one of those people. Because I never really feel that I fit in. Not because I'm not good enough, but I felt that I've always felt that it's too sciencey. I don't know if that's the right word for it. And I'm not really a scientist. I'm a social scientist. So the perception until I became or I began to read more and learn more, and this was by the time I was nominated, that I realized that actually a social scientist can be nominated, a social scientist can become a fellow. And so I got an email last year, just to summarize, saying that I've been nominated to apply for a Pew Fellowship. And I was so excited about it because the application or the fellowship is by invitation only. And so I sort of thought about it. Okay, who do I talk to about this? And how do I prepare myself to sort of collate different ideas that I have from the work that I've done in the past to then decide the one that is the right one? And I spoke to different people. I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to mention, so I think I'm going to be safe and not mention names at this point. But I spoke to different people, one of whom I work with, like I've worked with her so many times. I continue to work with her, and we discuss different ideas, and it got to a point when she felt, oh, I think this is the one we should go with. And to cut the long story short, I applied, and I got an email saying that I have been accepted. I didn't believe it, but because I felt, oh gosh, I didn't even have the right words, but I felt really excited. And yeah, I'm so excited about it. And the research that we're going to do is to understand the impact of closed season in Ghana, and with that, also try to find a way to create a, well, see if there is a way to create synergy between local ecological knowledge and scientific knowledge, if you can put it that way, to see whether, or in doing so, to see whether there's a more fairer and sustainable way of ensuring fishery sustainability rather than the current approach of the closed season, which current research, including some of the work that I've done, have suggested that it disenfranchises fisherfolk and pushes them further into poverty.
Wow. I mean, it's seems it's a well-deserved fellowship, which demonstrates how impactful your work is, considering that it's through nomination. And could you elaborate further about your research? Using the Pew Fellowship.
Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Sorry?
Can you repeat the question, please? I didn't get it.
Yeah, so my question is, can you please give us more detail on what your project is going to focus on under the Pew Research Fellowship?
So the title of my project is Creating Synergies in Ghana's Small-Scale Fisheries, and this could easily be Creating Synergies in West Africa's Small-Scale Fisheries. The reason why we selected Ghana is that Ghana is the first country in West Africa to have implemented closed season for small-scale fisheries for the last 3 years consistently. And based on their own experience, other countries in the region also talking about implementing closed season based on Ghana's experience or based on Ghana's reality. So there are at least three other countries in the West African region that are considering implementing closed season this year. And the motivation for this research then is for us to investigate the socioeconomic effects of fisheries closure in coastal or four coastal regions in Ghana. First of all, to understand how the policy is affecting communities, especially women and men, that women work in the fisheries value chain as processors, as traders predominantly, and the men as the fishers. And of course, the work that they do is instrumental to the work that the women have been able to do. I would also, through this, once we have sort of collected results on the impact of closed season, I will then go further to look at how historical practices, for instance, might be useful as a way of ensuring fishery sustainability in Ghana as a starting point, and then see whether those historical practices could be complemented with some of the government policies, or should I say, scientific knowledges or practices that is guiding the government's policy decision. Because the reality is that when we have closed seasons, at least for now, when we have closed season for a month, for instance, the question is, how are the fishers, many of whom relies on fisheries alone? I mean, completely, their livelihood is based on fisheries. So if it's not fisheries, there's nothing else. So how will these people be able to make ends meet during the period of the closures? So being fully aware that governments in Ghana and many governments in West Africa do not have that money to, for instance, say we're going to provide a supplementary source of livelihood in the case of Ghana for over 3 million people that rely on fisheries directly and indirectly for their livelihood. This is around 10% of the population. To provide supplementary livelihood for them at the period of the closure, it's practically impossible. And therefore, by investigating or trying to see whether there are local ecological practices that were engaged in the past that can be reapplied together with scientific practices today to ensure a fairer way of ensuring fishery sustainability, that would be the end goal, you know, trying to see whether such thing can be found with the research that we're going to do, because it's going to be a more sustainable and a fairer way of managing fisheries than going the close season route. I'm saying this because preliminary research, at least from the initial close season that we have analyzed, especially from 2019, have shown that fisherfolk men and women were unfortunately significantly affected. They were pushed further into poverty. And so we have to find a more creative way of fisheries management. Managing fish stock is something that must happen. The question then is, we must ensure that in doing so, we do not push people further into poverty, especially those that are already vulnerable. So in a nutshell, my research would, this is a long way of saying that my research would look at the impact of closed season and then what we can learn from local in indigenous or local ecological knowledge and how that knowledge can be integrated with scientific knowledge to then together influence fairer policies for fisheries management in West Africa.
You have highlighted some of the gender dynamics that you'd want to explore in your work, as well as the local ecological practices and scientific practices for more sustainable ways of managing fisheries. Are there any collaborations with your project?
Yes, absolutely. This work can only be successful if we collaborate with people on the ground. So currently, the idea is to collaborate with the National Canoe Owners Association in Ghana and also the Women Association, Fisherfolk Association in Ghana as well. We also plan to work with Ghana's Fisheries Commission. This is the agency that is responsible for fisheries governance, and we will do that through the official route of writing to request that we work with them collaboratively, because I feel that this is the only way to not only ensure that the work that we do is able to contribute to something positive on the ground, but also ensure that we're not doing research for the sake of it. One thing I'd like to highlight at this point is also that even though in building this idea, it was based on research that I've done in the past and some of the findings, in formulating the final proposal, I actually worked collaboratively with fisheries experts or sustainable livelihood experts that are based in Ghana and Fishers Association of Fisherfolk Associations to get their insight as to whether these are actually key issues that needs to be investigated and whether this is the right way to go about it. So already the process through which the research itself has been formulated would allow for the findings and the outcome to be something that can be utilized by the people on the ground and hopefully something that will lead to positive change for all involved.
Yeah, you raised an interesting perspective of doing research for the sake of it. What do you mean, looking at how your research will contribute to change?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I think there's something
Yes.
wrong with my mic or my headphone because I didn't quite get your question. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I said that you highlighted that. You are aiming not to do research for the sake of just doing it. Would
Yeah.
you mind elaborating that further, what it means, especially in the context of the Pew Research Fellowship?
Oh, thank you so much for this, for the question. I think it's obviously easy for one to, especially when you're in the higher education institution or space where sometimes the way things, I guess the way performance is measured sometimes can be based on publications. And so it's quite easy for someone to just do research. Any research that allows them to publish something just for the sake of it, because this is how, for instance, your performance is measured. This is what dictates whether you're going to be promoted or not. And for me, as an individual, I've always believed that we shouldn't do research or one shouldn't do research for the sake of it, because what is the essence of engaging with stakeholders? Engaging with stakeholders like government, communities that are affected by the issues that you're writing about or researching about. when there is no chance that the outcome of that research might inform a change, be it for the good or for the bad. And I also have to say that I didn't just wake up and start thinking about this, how can I ensure that any work that I do can potentially be of use to the relevant communities that I'm talking about, that I'm researching about. This was purely based on the fact that as a PhD student, when I went for my field work, I went to Bonny Island in Niger Delta area of Nigeria. And one of the main questions they asked me was, what is in it for us? The community members asked me that question. And this was purely based on the fact that they are fatigued. They have so many people, government agencies, other researchers, local and foreign, coming in almost on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, flying in, asking them, oh, are you degradation? What is the impact? What is the link with criminality, piracy, militancy, all those things? But then nothing comes out of it. They talk and talk and talk and nothing. They don't hear back from it, or they don't actually, sometimes they don't hear about the outcome of the research the people or agencies or the person have done. And so when they posed that question to me, my honest response, or sort of if I had responded honestly, it would have been, there's nothing in it for you, but there's everything in it for me, because their responses would have helped me to get my PhD. And that's the honest truth. But that moment made me to start thinking, okay, how can I ensure that this PhD is just not another research? How can I ensure that the relevant people, care about this work and maybe are able to make the right decisions? And since then, what I did, I'm an individual, I'm not a government, and I can't force a government to, take heed to some of the recommendations from my work. But what I have done to ensure that at least my work, like I said, doesn't end up as just one of those researches, that I use every opportunity that I get to talk about the findings. I publish the findings not just as a peer-reviewed journal, but as op-eds. What I can, I write about on my social media, like trying to share the perspective of the different entities that I've engaged with. I also try, when the opportunity arises, engage with entities in the region or the countries that I am interested in or that I work in, because I feel that doing this is one of the ways you will ensure that not only is the issue something that the government care about, but they're also able to hear not just expert perspective, but perspective based on the social realities on the ground. And I think this is something that is very important. So from that incident, this happened in 2015. It's been 8 years now, and that really revolutionized how I think about research, how I think about publishing. And since then, I don't think I've ever done anything. I've never written anything. I've never published anything. I've never spoken of anything just for the sake of it. I've always been guided in terms of thinking, what is in it for the community that I'm researching about, and how can I ensure that this doesn't end up as just another research? I hope I've answered the question. I mean, it's a very long way of trying to articulate it, but this is the best I can do.
That's quite powerful, Ife, because posing that question, what is in it for the community? And just from this discussion, you can clearly see how you are collaborating with different stakeholders in order to come with more sustainable ways of managing fisheries in the region that you are studying. My last question is, broadly speaking, how will this Pew Fellows Award impact your work as well as your career?
I think, if I'm being honest, I do not know. But what I do know is that it is a big deal. I mean, for me to be here in the first place, it is a really big achievement, and I absolutely love that I'm in this space. I love that, hard work is rewarded. In terms, when I say hard work, in terms of the research and effort that people make to communicate their research and ensure that the right people, or yeah, the right people actually are aware of the research and are able to utilize the findings of such research. I also know that hopefully, by the time we complete the research from this, that not only would the government of Ghana, especially those that are responsible for fisheries management, be able to engage with our findings, but also the government and agencies responsible for fisheries governance in West Africa will be able to engage with the findings and take the relevant lessons from it. And importantly, I hope that the findings would lead to a more just and fairer way of improving fisheries governance, which is something that is needed. I mean, there's no argument there. Fisheries needs to be governed, needs to be managed, because at this point it is highly depleted. The question or the problem is how we're going to go, how we are going about it currently, which unfortunately seems to be pushing the already vulnerable further into poverty. And unless this is addressed or managed, this could further expose them to the risk of criminality, which we're seeing in other areas. But this is not the, this is a conversation for another day. So in a nutshell, I feel that being a Pew Fellow is a very big achievement at my level, at my career level. And I hope that through their network and through the, diverse expert group that they have, I would be able to learn more of how I can better ensure that the aims and objective of this particular research is achieved. And yeah, that's all I can say for now, but I can't articulate it very well what the expectation for the future would be, but this is my aspiration for now.
Yeah, absolutely, considering that it's all by nomination, so that already says a lot. As we round off our conversation, Ife, is there anything that you want to add?
No, there's nothing else I'd like to add other than to say thank you so much. I know you're very busy. I know you have a very busy schedule. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me about the Pew Fellowship. And to our listeners, I want to apologize again for not releasing this month's episode on time. We're almost 3 weeks late, but thank you for your understanding. Thank you for always listening. And thank you for keeping African Jeopardy alive.
Yeah, and congratulations once again, Ife, and
Thank you.
thank you again to all our listeners, and all the best with your research work, and looking forward to hear more about the outcomes of this fellowship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ife.